I've entitled the message, You Can't Wake Up Because You're Not Dreaming. I think all of you are familiar with having a bad dream at some time in your life, and everything in the dream seems so real. It seems as though it's, at that time it's not a dream, and then you wake up, and there is such a relief to realize that it was a dream after all. Because real life was never as threatening or as dangerous as that dream was. And so as you compare the real world to your dream, you say that, wow, the world looks real good in comparison. I'm so glad that it was a dream. Now, most of you know that I have a real fascination with clocks, especially those that have pendulums on them. Now, you young children, I don't know where you know what a pendulum is, but it's that brass thing that hangs down the back of the clock and he goes tick-tock. That's the pendulum, all right? On the end of a pendulum is a big old bob. Now, I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But anyway, I love clocks like this. And I'm going to use the clock tonight like that to teach you a lesson in prophecy and also to increase your self-value as a child of God. Now, more and more today, as I read in various magazines, whether secular or religious, I get the feeling that the church is being put on the shelf in the back corner of the closet by the world. We are no longer an influential voice. And you may go to Washington and you may, as a Christian, express your opinion as a denominational body, but I don't believe the world or Congress pays any attention anymore to what any church says, or any preacher says, or any denomination says. As far as man's making choices as to where your country and the world is going, we're not consulted anymore in the church. And because of that, I think many of us are getting an inferiority complex. You know, when you're persecuted, at least you get noticed. But today the world is not really taking any notice of the church. Now, a few generations ago, the church had influential voice in the community. I mean, say 100 or 200 years ago, at least 100, when the preacher spoke, they listened to him. He had influence. Not today. And I believe that day has long passed and it will never return to the church. Today, you might say, the opinion that I have doesn't count. The United Nations does not, and their leaders do not, ask for the advice of the church. You know, the church goes about saying, we have the answer. Jesus is the answer, but the United Nations doesn't ask us for any of our answers. I don't really find our political leaders today campaigning, saying, if you'll elect me, I will consult the Christian church in getting my decisions. I don't hear them saying this. I don't even seem to get the idea that Congress is looking for biblical guidance in making their decisions. As I listen to people on the radio, on talk shows, anytime you mention Jesus or the Bible, they're ready to turn you off. You're a crank. You're a misfit in society today. There's no place for the Christian's philosophy today in our society. And so who do we turn to solve our dilemmas today? We turn to science. We turn to politicians. We turn to industry. We turn to labor and we turn to education. No, nobody turns to the church. It's because no longer is our voice considered worthwhile. And so we are outdated, we are brushed aside, and they are saying of us that our answers won't work. We can hold our rallies and we can pass our resolutions, but you know the world doesn't pay any attention to us. Not really. Now, how can we justify our existence? And a lot of people say you can't. We ought to tax the churches and close them down. How can you justify your existence? Do we have a real role to play in the world? I mean, are we to be an influence in the world? I want you to take heart tonight. It doesn't matter what the world thinks of you and me, but it's what God thinks of us. And in the eyes of the world, you're not important. I'm talking about you now as a Christian. You're not important. But in the eyes of God, let me say this. You are important. The world, I want you to listen to me now and catch this. The world may disregard you, but history never will. I'll say it again. The world will disregard you, but history never will. You and I are writing history, folks, and the world doesn't have enough sense to know it. We are the ones that's writing the history. Let me illustrate again by going back to the clock. Imagine the clock face. On the face you have, of course, on this clock now, you will have a little second hand that goes tick, tick, tick every second. Then you'll have the numbers 1 to 12. Then you'll have also the hour hand and the minute hand. Then beneath that dial, that clock face, you have this long brass pendulum. On the end of the pendulum, you have a big brass bob. And beneath the bottom of the pendulum bob, there is a little screw that regulates the speed of the pendulum. As you raise the bob, the clock speeds up. As you lower the bob, the clock slows down. Now, a lot of people today are asking, this is the clock of history. And I believe that clock started ticking by the second on the day of Pentecost. And the disciples of Jesus said, in a real sense, Jesus, when will it all come to an end? When will the long hand and the hour hand reach 0 or 12 o'clock? When will that happen? Jesus gave some various signs. And through the generations have asked, well, when will time run out? When will Jesus come again? And there's always somebody that's going to give you a date and tell you where the long hand and the short hand is, which I think is foolish because you can't do that. And the Bible says you can't do that. You shouldn't even try to do that. But that clock has been ticking now for 1900 years. Since Jesus talked about it. I really honestly wonder tonight, where is the hour hand? Is it at 1 o'clock and do we have still 11 more hours of history to go? Or is the hand at 6 o'clock? Are we halfway to the spot where the Lord comes again? Or is the clock? Is it 11:45? I don't know where the long hand is. I call it the long hand. I don't know where the short hand is. That's the hour hand. I don't know where they are. Is it early or is it late? On God's time clock. You and I are not dreaming today. You go home and you're not going to wake up. And it's all going to be over. What's going on is real. And I mean, I don't mind telling you, it's frightening. The world's in trouble. A lot of people, I think, are burying their head in the sand and saying, oh, it'll all go away. It always has in the past. It's always been those as frightened as everything will work out. According to the Bible, the clock's ticking. And I don't think the world realizes and doesn't care, but it's ticking. And the hour hand's moving. And we're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and find our troubles have all gone away. Because they're not. It's for real. I believe there is an economic disaster of worldwide proportion that's threatening our whole world. I believe that's true. Now, it may not happen and something may come along and solve the whole problem, but that threat is really there. And the danger of military conflict is present with us today, like it hasn't been in many years. Now, that can go away and everything can get back to normal, but it's there today. A lot of folks are asking and a lot of people are predicting what's going to happen. Our politicians are telling us what needs to be done, but none of them are telling us how they're going to do it. Because they don't know how they're going to do it. That's the honest truth. I don't believe anybody knows how they're going to do it. And that's what you see makes it so puzzling. Nobody has an answer. Or we just say, we need to do this and we need to do that. But brethren, how are you going to do it? Politicians won't tell you that because they can't. What is the solution to the crisis of our world today? I don't know. Fresh on our minds almost every day is the takeover of our embassy workers in Iran. How on earth is that ever going to end? I don't know. Then there's a failure recently of our rescue attempt. Then constantly we're reminded of the invasion of Afghanistan by Russia. And what are they going to do next? I'm going to tell you about that. Then we hear the talk that America is inferior militarily, that we're not prepared anymore to go into a conventional warfare, that Russia has surpassed us. I don't know. But it's not a dream. It's real. And the whole world keeps looking today at the face of the clock. Everybody trying to figure out where the hour hand is and how we can push the hour hand back or how we can stop the second hand from moving. But you know, nobody's looking at the pendulum. Everybody's looking at the hour hand. You know, that's just natural. If I go to my house, I look at the hour hand to know what time it is. We won't know what time is it. But you know, really, it's the pendulum that tells you what time it's going to be. And we're the pendulum. We're the church. We're the most important part of that clock. Because you see, we regulate the running of those hands. Whether those hands move fast or those hands move slow, that's up to us. The world doesn't know that. They don't believe us. They say, oh, you silly with the heat. No, no. The pendulum regulates the movement of the hand, and we're the pendulum. How did you figure that out? Because God made us the pendulum. And God owns this old world, and God's in control, and we are the pendulum, and that's where He has placed us. And you know, the hands of the clock are moving according to our drum beat, or I might say pendulum beat. The world's moving according to our drum beat, not the world's drum beat, not Kremlin's drum beat, not Washington's drum beat, but your drum beat, my drum beat. We're calling the shots as to how fast the hands are going to move around the clock. That's where we come in. Now, as far as history goes, they say, throw the church in the corner. And pay no attention. Ignore its presence. But history is moving by our movement, whether they like it or not. And it's here where old Parkwood has really made it showing. I'll tell you about that in a minute, too. A lot of churches have done nothing to speed up the pendulum. They've even slowed it down, but Brother Parkwood speeded it up. I believe that now. We really have. We've kicked that old minute hand around a little bit faster since we've been around. I'll tell you why in a few minutes. Most of you know that, as I said a while ago, you regulate that pendulum by raising or lowering the bob on it. And that increases the speed or slows down the speed of the clock hands. And so as Christians, we don't really have to pay too much concern about the face of the clock. It really doesn't make much difference if the hour hands on 11 o'clock or 11:45. It doesn't make us a whole lot of difference. What we ought to be concerned about is that little screw on the bottom of the bob. That's where our attention should be focused. And today the world has caused the church to be looking at the face of the clock when we ought to be looking at the little old knob on the bottom of the bob. Because that's what God has assigned us to do. To regulate that little old screw on the bottom. Keep screwing it up. Screwing it up. Screwing it up. You know what the world wants to do? Screw it down. Screw it down. They want to slow down the hour hand. And God says to the church, speed up. Speed up. Get on around there to 12 o'clock. And the world says, slow it down and push it back to 1 o'clock. You see, the world's fighting us. No wonder they put us on a shelf. And so God says, you keep your hands on that screw. Keep turning it up. And speed things up. It shouldn't have taken 1,900 years for the clock hands to reach 12. But you know, we're going into 2,000 years. It should have been done long ago. But the church has not really done what it ought to be doing. What is our function? What is our place? What is our task? What is our purpose in the eyes of God? We have a plan. And our plan is to regulate the time clock of history. That's our plan. For 1,900 years, we've been playing with that screw. Some generations, they screw it down and history slows down. Some generations, some Christians push it up and the clock speeds forward. That's been going on back, seesawing back and forth down through the years. I want to say again, the movement of history is not being written by the Kremlin tonight. It's being written by the church. Now, Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8. would be interesting concerning the latter times or the end when the clock hand reaches 12. And Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him and said privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" That is, of the present age as we know it, where man rules the earth. And so Jesus gives them an answer. "Take heed that no man deceive you," and this to look for. Now we're looking at the face of the clock. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." This meaning there will be many who will come and say, "I am the Savior of the world. I have the solution." We've always had folks like that. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." You'll have that when the hour hand is on 1, the hour hand's on 2, the hour hand's on 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. I mean, you'll have that sort of thing just going on throughout history. All right? Verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." These are the beginning of sorrows. Man, we've had that for 1900 years. So we don't really know, you see, where the hour hand is tonight, because these are all general things you're going to have all the way through. But I want you to go down to verse 24, because here's something that's a little bit different. I believe it's 14, I'm sorry, verse 14. "Here is our function. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Our work's cut out for us, isn't it? There it is. We're regulating the time of the movement of the hands of history. How are we doing that? Look at it again. "When we have preached in all the world for a witness to all the nations," time's up. Time's up. Why, if all the church today turned out 100-fold and began to do this, pour all of our resources, all of our time, all of our money, we could turn the clock hands up drastically. And you might could bring the Lord back in our months. That's it. As soon as we do that work, as soon as that job is done, Jesus said the end is there. Now that's our purpose in life. Where are we today in accomplishing this feat? I don't know. But I think the world better sit up and start looking. They better get their eyes off the face of the clock and start looking at how far up we have turned that little knob. Because, brethren, I don't know whether you know or not, but we have really turned that knob a long ways. And that's where Parkwood has made its little dent. What we're talking about here is world evangelism. We've sunk $100,000 in that little old screw in that pendulum. And, brother, we've sunk it in missionary works that's out preaching the kingdom to lost folks. That's going to get it done then. Not out preaching social issues. Reformation of governments, the salvation of lost people, we're doing it. And today we ought to have the world be examining our track record, not our financial books. How far have we gone? We've gone a lot further than the world knows we've gone. Where are we today? Where are we planning tomorrow? And what is the effect that our little message is having on the world's masses? You just got through hearing about one in Korea. They claim if things keep going, Africa will have more Christians than America. Latin America is responding to the gospel. The doors of China are opening. I mean, brethren, signs say that we can speed up this thing. It's looking mighty good outside the borders of America for the church as far as spreading the gospel, getting it out, and with the access of computer. Now watch this. With the access of computer, they are able today to translate language in a matter of months, where before it took a matter of 20 years. They can just get all of the information, place it in the computer, and it can do it for them. Brethren, that'll speed up translation work drastically. Wycliffe says they can finish it. They can finish it in this generation. every language on the face of the earth in this generation with computers. We have radio. We have television. We have the printing press. There's not a place almost on the face of this earth that's not already being reached by the message of Christ. And the only ones left are those that we can't speak their language, and we're getting close to them. And so you see, even closed doors can be overreached today by technology. How much further do we have to go until we accomplish what Jesus said had to be done until He comes? Brother, we're close. We're close. Now, if we want to, we can take our eyes off the pendulum and we can look at the face of the clock too. But I think we need to look at both of them in conjunction. We can see where we are in the evangelization of the world. Now, that doesn't mean everybody has to be saved. It just means we have to reach them. We can take into consideration where we are in evangelization and take into consideration where we are in world history according to biblical prophecy. We can put the two together. Now, I'm not a man that sets dates, but if I was going to be a guessing man, because of where the pendulum stands tonight, and because of the nearness of our being able to complete the evangelization of the world, getting the gospel, because of that fact, I would place the hour hand at least at 11 o'clock, based simply on where we are today in the church as far as world evangelism goes. There just aren't many places left we haven't gone. And the only ones left are the 100 and 200 people tribes speaking a language we don't know yet. And they're working on those with computers. Now, how much longer? I don't know. But I would say, if I was just guessing, at least 11 o'clock. How long will it take us to go from 11 to 12? Man, I have no idea. But I'd say at least at 11. Now, I want you to turn, if you will, and we'll just take a few minutes here and then we'll quit. Go to Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38. And because of the events that we now see transpiring in the Middle East, I think it's important that we understand that it may be later than 11 o'clock. Begin with verse 1 and go through 12 very quickly. I don't have time to read all, but let's go through it. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog in the land of Magog, and the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against them, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. 15 and 16. And thou these nations, and thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army, and thou shalt come against my people Israel. As the cloud that cover the land, it shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. 39, 1 and 2. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but 1/6 part of your company, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And then he goes on and says, I will smite the army. Who's he talking about? Well, Magog, Meshach, and Tubal were grandsons of Noah. History has it that the Noah landed in the ark on territory within what's now Turkey. In the first century, history records that the descendants of these three, Magog, Meshach, and Tubal, settled in what is now known as South Central Russia. The Bible says they'll come from the north. The northern part of Israel is Russia. What is interesting, I want you to go back and notice the allies consisting of the army that's going to come against Israel in the latter days. That means when the clock is almost at 12 o'clock. Almost at 12, not 11, 12. Now notice, go back. Verse 2. Gog, Magog, and Meshech, and Tubal all refer to Russia. All right, now if you will go to verse 5. There'll be a great company that will assist or accompany Russia. First named is Persia. Now when Ezekiel wrote this prophecy, let me tell you what that Rome or the Persian Empire consisted of. When he mentioned Persia, he was mentioning the Persian Empire of his day. By map, Persia consisted of, now follow me, Iran. That's bad news, isn't it? Iran, Syria, already got that one. Afghanistan, they got that one. And the uppermost part of Pakistan. I would say look for that one to go to. Also notice the Bible says Ethiopia and Libya, the northern part of Africa. And today, check out your history books and you'll find out that Ethiopia and Libya is in the communist camp. You've been reading about we're getting some of our crucial minerals from Ethiopia and Libya, and without these we can't make jet airplanes, and they're worried. Our worries are just beginning. All right. Then it says Gomer. You know what Gomer and his bands? Gomer is Eastern Germany. And you might go on and say the rest of Eastern Europe. And they're already in the Russian camp. Only thing missing from the list is Iran and Pakistan. What time is it on the face of the clock? I don't know. But if this is the hour, you can pretty well call the shots as to what's going to happen in the Middle East. It doesn't look good. But our job as the church goes on, and we're the one regulating the time. The time, it's up to us. We keep it our job. We don't concern ourselves with the moves of Russia. We concern ourselves with the move of evangelism, because the clock hands are moving according to us, whether fast or slow, according to us. Where do we stand tonight? I don't know. And then there was one more country I didn't mention listed there, and it was called Targuman, and that's Turkey. That's Turkey, one of the weakest links in NATO. Father, tonight, we are thankful that you consider us to be important in this world. Though the world does not realize that the church is really regulating the time clock, we do. We are praying tonight that you come back. We don't want to slow down the time. We want you to come, take over this earth, and establish thy kingdom upon it. Before then, we want the evangelistic gospel to be preached around the world and help this church to continue to have a part in speeding up that hour and that day when the Lord shall have what belongs to him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.